From coffee to moonlight, from driving Miss Daisy to the last dragon. We've seen a lot, but we're gonna watch them all. I'm Len, the Bat Tribble.
And I'm Vincent Williams.
And we are the Michaud Mission.
Two men, one podcast.
Every black film ever made. Catch us every week on Podglomerate.
All right.
Issue a warm welcome to all the sidekicks and henchmen out there in the Geek Nation. This is a very special edition, Gutter Talk.
Gutter Talk.
I'm Johnny Destructo, a.k.a. Thwip Tribble.
And I am Len, a.k.a. the Bat Tribble.
And the man choking on his own microphone is Noel. He'll be with us in a second. He's got to compose himself. And Sam!
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Sam. Noel, how you doing, buddy?
I'm alive.
Good. Oh my God, my wife brought cookies! Okay, so anyway, no, seriously. We're here to talk about... We just got out of a press screening for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes!
I have free hands. You want me to open that?
Open the cookies for me, Noel. Because there's nothing that people like to hear more than people eating cookies on a microphone. So, yeah. Len, take it away.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was a new animated feature that will be released in December. It is a co-production of Sony Animation and Marvel Studios, and I guess Disney's got a little say in there as well. And it's the animated story, loosely the story of Miles Morales. Can you still call him new Spider-Man?
Youngest?
There you go.
The youngest Spider-Man the currently youngest... in rotation.
Yes, there you have it. So it's loosely his origin story, but mixed in with a touch of the Spider-Verse storyline that I think ran through the Spider-Man comics of a couple of years ago.
During Dan Slott's run, it was a whole event about all of the different spider people that are functioning in every different dimension, right?
So this movie, which is coming out, like I said, in
December 14th,
animated film. We just saw it, the press screening. All I can say is, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. The lights go out and then the wonderment begins.
I was so excited about that. I'm a sucker for when they go the extra inch, right? And they do the thing, what was it, Columbia?
Yes, it was Columbia.
The Columbia woman, she's got the torch, she's hanging out doing the thing. Just forever holding up that torch. And I like when they do things like that. They did it in The Matrix, where they just add the flavor, the visual flavor of whatever the movie is towards the production company, the distributor, all that sort of stuff.
All the logos.
Yeah, the what have yous and whatnots.
Right, right. Yeah. So the Columbia woman holding the flame, and Columbia, because Columbia was bought out by Sony, you know, you see her in all her glory, in all her Annette Bening looking glory.
Thank you. Okay, it's not just me.
Yeah, yeah.
Always thought she looked like Annette Bening.
There was a story about that.
Wasn't that debunked a couple years ago?
It was debunked, but you.
It looks
once you
like
hear
her.
It, you can't.
There's a Gary Shandling movie with Annette Bening that was by Columbia, and as a joke or like a troll, they imposed her face on the.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. But right from there, the wonderment begins because she quickly becomes like some kind of like laser fighter and a whole bunch of different imagery. It's just
alternate reality versions of
Columbia.
Alternate universal
girl.
Yeah. Multiversal versions.
Are we doing? How do you want to do? Do we just general impressions and then start? Like,
are we gonna spoil?
Are we gonna spoil? Like, set the rules. Set the rules for this conversation.
We'll do general impressions. Then we'll do a couple of minutes of just, you know, like banter. You know, talking about the film.
And then when you hear the spoiler song, that's when we're gonna get into.
I have a question. I actually do have a very important question. Do these cookies have nuts?
Are there any nuts in these cookies? They don't look like they have nuts. They look barely cooked. They look a little raw.
They look like Play-Doh.
They're nutless.
Chips Ahoy. I need my official testers.
All right, so let's start. Good? What are we talking about? What's going on?
So general impressions of Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. Should we, I guess, let people know, like, you know, this is an animated film, but it's chock full of, like, the voice actors are, like, off the hook in this movie. You've got, from Dope. And now I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Isn't it Shameik?
Shameik Moore.
He's so good.
He plays Miles Morales.
You have Mahershala Ali. No, he's Uncle Aaron. He's Uncle Aaron. That's right.
The Prowler.
Then who's playing his father?
Henry.
We got John Mulaney as Spider-Pig.
Well, I didn't want to go there yet, but
Peter
all right.
Peter Porker. Well, while you guys are looking on your phones, I'm going to fill airtime.
yes, that's it. Brian Tyree Henry.
Brian Tyree Henry from Atlanta.
I thought that was Brian Dennehy. Was that not Brian Dennehy?
No. Brian Donnelly.
I'm kidding.
Brian Donnelly, he owns a sub shop.
Yeah, Brian Tyree Henry. You have Liev Schreiber.
Oh, Liev Schreiber.
As Kingpin. You have Haley Stanfield as... Spider-Gwen.
Oh, yeah, Lily Tomlin was Aunt May.
A great Aunt May. I knew it the second I heard her.
Interesting where they went with her character. It was kind of cool.
I liked her character.
So many cool
things. And Nicolas Cage as Spider-Man Noir.
Who almost stole the whole movie.
Yeah, he was great.
He did. I was trying to figure out his voice. Who played...
Chris Pine. The first Spider-Man?
He's the first
Chris Pine. Yeah.
Oh. He's the first Spider-Man.
The whole movie, I was trying to place it because it's just like, I know who the hell that is.
Yes.
I thought Christian Slater for a second, and then I thought somebody else. And we stood for the credits, and I was just like, I need to know who did that first Peter Parker.
You know what? I saw Chris Pine in the credits, but somebody stood up. I couldn't see who it was he played. Yeah. I was pissed.
And at the end of the credits, he even sings the song.
Oh, is that him?
That's him at the end.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Chris Pine. Oh,
oh
my God.
Also important to note that you should stay till after the credits.
Very much so.
You should. Yes. Yeah. You have to.
It's definitely worth it.
That's original animation, too, from the 60s.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go first.
General impressions of Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
As the Spidey guy, I consider myself the Spidey guy.
You're the Spidey guy. You should go last.
Go ahead,
no
Len.
Should go first.
I thought it was well done.
No. He was getting ready to eat a cookie, and you fucked it up.
I think you did that on purpose.
I could have handed it off to Sam.
It's like, thank you. I don't need the cookie. I get it. I understand. Anyway, I loved it. I overall thought it was fantastic. I was worried. I was telling Len off the air. I was worried that they were going to somehow truncate Miles's origin.
Yeah.
Which has been a wonderful story for me. Yeah. I've loved it since Jump.
Mm-hmm.
How they spent all of this time laying amazing groundwork for him, and still create. At first, it felt like I remember reading it. At first, it felt like all right, yeah, a spider, great, got bit, great. But then it ended up evolving into this very interesting uncle relationship that does mirror Ben's and Peter's relationship in a really, really slick way.
Yeah,
and
it turns on the head a little bit. Yeah,
that was my favorite aspect of Miles Morales.
Yep,
and they gave it all justice, and I loved it in the movie. And then throwing in all the crazy shit and the style. This was one of the better animated movies I've seen in a really, really long time. I loved it.
This was Pixar level for me. And I mean, that's a compliment. I like Pixar movies quite a bit. Most of them, anyway. And this, to me, was akin to...
Not a good dinosaur fan?
I've never seen it. I forgot that it existed.
I like the good dinosaur.
I also have never seen the
Cars film. I think it was
fine. But, yeah, I think this is on par with some of the best animated films I've ever seen.
It is.
It captures the feeling that you would want. It brought emotions out of me. I laughed.
Did y'all almost cry a couple times?
Yes.
I almost cried a couple times.
We'll get to that later.
Okay.
But... Yeah. It hit all the emotional beats that I wanted. The soundtrack was on point. The animation at first was a little difficult for my eyes to adjust to.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, I didn't even notice it anymore.
Right.
Actually, afterwards in the restroom, I was listening to people talk about it because we all walked out together. And then I hung out with people in the restroom. It was a whole thing. It's not the, that's the point of the story. Some people thought that it was supposed to be 3D, and it was wrong
for the first chunk of it. Oh, funny. Because really, they do, there's a 3D effect.
Yeah, and I wanted to be like, that was the chosen style.
Yeah, but, that was like the blue and the red that you would see.
I chose not to
go there.
Engage
I chose not to engage with strangers in the bathroom instead of correct them.
Yeah. Smart.
Which is just a bad idea.
Yeah.
Smart.
Sam, what did you think?
I think that kind of threw me a little bit as well, some of the visual, you know, stylings that they were using on it. However, as much as it was throwing me, I enjoyed it because it would have been very easy to just try and be Pixar level.
Yeah.
And they tried to have, you know, Pixar quality as far as the animation, but have their own visual language.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that a lot. Yeah. Plus, it leaned very hard into that. This is an animated movie, but this is an animated superhero movie. This is an animated comic book movie. And there were aspects of all of that in there, from the captions down to the Kirby crackle.
The ink dots in their skin tone.
The ink dots on the skin tone.
Zip-a-tone. Yeah,
the,
so
the textures on the clothes. You know, some of the lines. You saw, like, line drawings, the inking almost, like, faux inking on it. Oh, my God, it's the 13th triple. It's just walked into the building. This is incredible. Yeah, it was just, it was bananas. I loved it. I loved every single freaking solitary minute of this fantabulous movie.
Sam, now you're not a big comic book person, though, right?
No, I've kind of been adopted into this world.
Yeah, that's good. That's how it always happens, right?
Yes.
You get someone and they just suck you in. So, are you even a big Spider-Man fan? Like, do you care about the films?
Yes. Okay. I gotta say though, I don't like Tobey Maguire. As
Spider-Man. Oh no, you're right. Cardboard Maguire was a mess.
They make fun of him in the movie.
They do. They do. So, what did you? What are your first impressions? Was it something? Did you enjoy it?
Loved this movie. I loved the artistic aspect of it. I loved that they kept bringing you back to the comic book, you know, origin of it, saying, hold on.
Yeah, that was cool.
Let's start back to the beginning, and they throw the issues in your face.
Yeah.
You know, so you're like, oh, this is another character. And so for somebody like me who doesn't actively read comics, it was kind of interesting to see them pull it back down to the origin. So I think it doesn't just speak to people that read comics all the time. It also is good for an audience like myself who hasn't been exposed to comics at a young age, but, you know, maybe now after watching all these movies, you know, it would be a great time to jump in.
You're right. It's a very user-friendly Spider-Man movie.
Let's say, and I don't want to, this is not to put you on the spot of like having to start reading a comic book, but there is a myriad of spider persons in this movie. Is there a particular version of the spider that you're like, oh, you know what? If there was a series of that character, I would read it.
I think I like Miles' Spider-Man.
Yeah,
that's a win.
Story. I really do.
I love Miles. He's one of my favorites.
Well, I feel like this movie was, you know, introducing most people to him. Mm-hmm. So anybody who doesn't read comics were like, who's Miles?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, everybody knows the original Peter Parker and, you know, the noir Spider-Man is not, I don't know. I guess it was all new to me.
Yeah, the noir Spider-Man, he's not a household name.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, but I did like Nicolas Cage as the voice for
him. Yeah, he was great.
He was great.
So that was pretty cool. There was another part that I really got into. I think it was just Aunt May becoming the
Alfred?
The Alfred.
Well, you can talk about it.
Okay.
She was just...
Spoiler territory, though. Do we want to wait to talk about
it? Whoops.
Okay.
Let's just say that she's badass and end it there.
Well, let's not talk about it deeply yet. You know?
Yeah, they do a very interesting turn on Aunt May's character, and it fits with this story.
It does.
Yeah.
And Rachel, having not seen the movie, how did you feel about it?
Help.
Cool. So that's our pretty much everyone. Let's see. All right, real quick. On a scale of 1 to 5 thwips. How many thwips do you give this film? No, go.
4.75 thwips, only because I don't think 5 is achievable.
Oh.
I don't know, like, I can't think of what a 5 is, but it's very difficult for me to just give
it. Yeah, because that means it's like a perfect movie.
It's a perfect movie. Is there such a thing as a perfect movie?
Yes.
Sam, how many thwips do you give it out of 5?
4.
4 thwips. Len?
I give it 5 thwips.
I would give it 5 thwips as well. I walked out and I said that was kind of a perfect movie.
Yeah.
That's on DJ boards everywhere. Yeah, man, five thwips. I thought it was perfect. It gave me everything I wanted out of it. I felt like it was accessible, but also really gave long-term fans stuff to love. Mm-hmm. It really rode the line of
fan service.
Fan service versus accessibility.
Yep, and it did it so smartly.
Yeah, so quick question for Sam. I'm saying it's accessible, right? But as a person who's been reading Spider-Man for nigh on to 35 years, as someone who doesn't know that much, was there a bunch of times or any times where you were like, what?
Felt lost.
Were you
or
lost
like
or confused as someone who doesn't know all of the ins and outs of this stuff?
No, because they did a really good job at explaining the stuff that needed explaining, yeah, and the other stuff you could kind of pick up in context.
Gotcha. Great. Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. I realized I was speaking from a place of not actually having knowledge of, like, oh, I know all this stuff, all the references.
Well, everybody knows, like, the baseline info about Spider-Man. Yeah. So you take that, and then if you are introduced to new stuff, it's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. And they were like, it was clear what the multiverse was, and that they didn't know what that was already, but...
I wasn't familiar with it too much, but, you know, as somebody who really is into shows and movies about
you, Doctor
time,
Who.
Yeah,
you're wearing a
Whovian
Doctor Who
shirt. For sure. So that kind of stuff appeals to me to begin with. So
yeah, I'm a big fan of like sliders, as it were.
Yeah.
All right. So we are going to that's our overall
thoughts.
Yeah. So all of us say go see this movie.
Absolutely.
Support it in the theaters, because I have been championing something like this for years and years and years, and I'm really glad that they're finally doing high level animation that is released in the theaters. So go support this movie in the theater so that we can get more of it.
And I'm just happy that this, because we talked on Gutter Talk about how I was nervous about this movie because they were introducing so many other Spider-Man,
so much stuff,
that Miles might get lost, his story might get lost. But no, he is still very much central to this movie, mm-hmm, in the beginning and at the end.
Yeah, which I like too.
We'll
get into that in a minute. So from here on out, we're going to talk heavy spoilers. I wouldn't say that there's anything really spoilery about this, but just in case, if you haven't seen it, we don't want to ruin it for you. Yeah, you think there's some spoilers? Yeah.
I mean, there's no spoilers in the effect of, like, does Spider-Man win? Like, that's not a spoiler.
Oh, yeah, that's not a...
But
yeah,
there are, like, turns in the movie that you might want to go...
So anything from here on out, everything after this spoiler song is spoiler.
Screedle-deedle, a deedly-dee, a screedle-deedly-doo.
Spoil it, Len. What do you got?
Everyone dies.
No, but
I realize I threw it to you while you were mid-cookie.
That's the theme of the show. Like, reach for a cookie, you're getting thrown.
Yeah, you're getting...
Halves of thoughts.
Just
you can't hear it.
You're just going on the Aunt May thing, because we kind of like touched on it a little bit.
Yeah.
Aunt May turning into... First of all, I knew Lily Tomlin's voice
the second
I heard it.
I didn't know it.
So I was like, because I love it, Lily Tomlin. Mm. And I was like, all right. But Lily Tomlin just can't just be being just a regular old, you know, mm-hmm, Aunt May. But they got to do something cool. And the second she goes down into the spider cave, which is like akin to the best bat caves ever, complete with the spider buggy, mm-hmm, in it. Did you notice that?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my God.
It was actually, there are times where I'm caught off guard in a movie theater setting. I go in and I go, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be composed. I may laugh. I'll laugh along. But generally, I'm trying to be aware of the people around me. And that was one of the times in the movie where I went, oh, yeah. And then immediately went, oh, geez.
I actually think you had an involuntary reflex, though, because there was a couple of times, like, I even think on the spider buggy, when I swear I kept feeling this poke in my arm. And I look at you and you just have this big cheese-eating grin on your face. So I think you were like, Your elbow
accidentally
was
nudging you.
Is that shit?
So I did. I like the spider cave. That was a nice.
Yeah.
What I like about it, actually,
Spider-Man had a cape.
Isn't just the spider cape. Isn't just the fact that there was a spider cave with a spider bug and all that stuff. But I liked thematically what it does with the story. Is I didn't realize when we first meet the Peter in the beginning of the film. Mm-hmm. That was not the Peter that we were going to get later in the film.
Right, because you knew Peter was going to be in the movie from the trailer.
From the trailer. So I thought, okay, this is that. What's the guy's name? He's from The New Girl, right?
Jake Johnson, best part of the movie. I'm sorry. Best
the guy who voiced, I just assumed that that was our Peter. And so when he dies, I was like, oh. And then they take off the hair, and, you know, and he looks like Ben Reilly with the dyed bleach hair.
Right.
That actually surprised me. So I didn't know that was coming. But I like what it does within the movie, which is you've got a perfect Spider-Man from this universe who has things like a spider cave, and we're going to replace him with this shitty 40-year-old kind of with a pouch, you know, a gut.
Well, I took it as they aged up. There's two Spider-Men that are primary, right? The Ultimate Universe Spider-Man and 616 Spider-Man, like Spider-Man Prime. They aged both of them up about 10 years for the purposes of this story.
Yeah.
So you had Ultimate Spider-Man, which is where Miles Morales comes out of. And in that story, Aunt May knows all, and she starts to reluctantly help. So this is almost like a 10 years forward where she's an active part of his. Mm-hmm.
Which I love. They did that in the J. Michael Straczynski stuff.
Which on wonderful and fun. And then also you've got the 616 one who ruins everything.
Yeah.
Still in the process of ruining everything emotional around him.
Yeah. So you thought that was our Spider-Man? You thought that was the 616?
Yeah, 616 Spider-Man is Jake Johnson.
Is that him? Yeah. I realized he was the 616.
On one of the monitors when they're doing the Collider stuff, there's one line to 616, one line to, like, they... Yeah, he's our Spider-Man.
Oh, man, we got a shitty Spider-Man. I didn't realize our Spider-Man was so shitty,
well,
but I guess it's
we've
true.
We've got a late 30s, early 40s kind of pouchy Spider-Man who's ruined a lot of things and he's the redemption story.
It's true.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And he did. I mean, he was still a Spider-Man. He got it done. He got the job done. It's just that after a point, it got in the way of his personal life, and then it messed with his head big time, as you saw. So, and I actually dug that. I actually dug it a lot, man. I really dug it. It was cool.
This is the Spider-Man we deserve.
Yeah.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
So, yeah, so that's Aunt May. She was great.
Yeah, so that was Aunt May. Aunt May was cool. And actually, as someone, and this is for you, Brandon, for someone who really knows very little about Spider-Gwen, except that I do agree that her design is cool as hell, I really liked her.
The problem here is that Brandon, I believe, likes Gwenpool. Not Spider-Gwen.
Oh, well, then stay home.
Yeah. No, I loved Spider-Gwen. I liked, I thought she was great. I loved the haircut. I liked, who's the voice of that?
Haley Stansfield.
Who is that?
She was in True Grit.
Okay.
Also, the Pitch Perfect movies.
Was she in the
two and three, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, who is she in that?
And she's also Bumblebee's.
She's the new girl.
Oh, she's the new one that joins. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay.
Get that on my feet. I don't want it.
All this visual humor on this audio podcast.
Yeah, I was batting her in the face with my microphone. I liked Spider-Gwen a lot. I like that she shows up and she's already better than both Miles and the 616 Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she wrecks. Oh, I'll tell you, here was another spoiler, you're right. Real quick, Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Did you know that was going to be Doc Ock?
No, not at all.
Me neither.
I just thought the lady with the big glasses from Harry Potter.
I thought that she was
Trelawney,
gonna
end... is that her name?
Trelawney, yeah.
Trelawney.
I thought she was going to be a reluctant helper. And then all of a sudden it was a turn.
You know, from Venom.
Yeah.
I thought I'd heard her name introduced as a Fisk, so I thought she was going to be Kingpin's wife.
Oh.
But then when she wasn't, and she said she was Doc Ock, I was like, all right, that's cool. But then when you saw her tentacles and they weren't metal, like this inflatable plastic thing that you just, her just like, bloop, 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 bloop. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I have a question for Sam. Do you know who Gwen Stacy is and all of that? When Spider-Gwen pulled off her mask and whatnot, do you have any questions about that? Because they didn't really describe it or explain it.
No. There are currently three microphones in my face. No pressure at all. I really didn't know who she was, to be honest with you.
Did it affect anything?
I didn't read comics as a kid, so of course I didn't know who she was. But... I knew about her from the trailer when I first saw the trailer with you, and you were really excited to see Spider-Gwen.
Did you see Andrew Garfield's Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2?
I don't know.
She played by Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
No.
You never saw those?
Oh,
no.
Wow. Oh.
I have them, sweetie. We can watch them.
Oh.
I mean, the first one.
Run now.
No, they're great. I love them.
The first one's good. The second one's
awful. But I like her character.
The first one's half good. Yeah.
I do. I do like her character. And I did like, if you stick around, like, you know, everybody said for the credits, there's this great extra little, you know, animation storyline for everybody, and it's kind of cute. It puts her on stage as a rock artist, and it puts him, you know, all the different...
Yeah, she's a musician in her book, right?
Yeah, yeah. She plays the Mary Janes. She's a drummer. So the band is called the Mary Janes.
It's like a concert, and then... But they keep doing this repetitive art at the very end. I don't know if you picked up on it, but each Spider-Man or each Spider-Person got their own chance to be the artist at the concert on stage. They showed you repetition.
Oh, I see. During the credits, the actual credit animation.
It was kind
of
cool.
I see. Yes.
You know, and then you saw her on stage doing her ballerina gig with her. You know, obviously she does have the ballerina shoes on. Uh-huh. So unfortunately, no, I can't really check in.
I just find it interesting that so Gwen Stacy is an important character in Peter Parker's life,
if not one of the most.
And you were able to just like, I guess actually, yeah, she's the most important person underneath Ben. You were able to just kind of follow along with this interpretation of the character, and it didn't add or subtract anything.
I think it's easy to just, even as somebody from my standpoint, to just watch a film and enjoy it and enjoy the story that's in front of you without having preconceived perspectives based on something else you've already read or seen. So that's like, you know, when people bring their children to these movies and sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, these kids are never going to understand what they're watching. I can understand it, and I didn't, you know, I'm not on the same level of geekery as you guys.
Which is the strength of this movie? The fact that you didn't need it or want it or it required to enjoy.
And it actually would have gotten in the way a little bit because there are moments where you're supposed to be emotionally involved in the relationship between Peter and Mary Jane. And if you know about what the character of Gwen Stacy in general means to Spider-Man mythology, then that could get a little bit in a way in your headspace. But you just take that off. You don't even worry about it.
You know what? Actually,
it's weird.
I'm sorry. For a quick deep dive, now that I'm thinking about it, our 616 Peter Parker had no reaction to his former love of his life,
right,
who's now dead,
right,
showing up.
That's why I liked it.
You didn't need that.
I don't think you needed that. I think
if you
wrap your head around, you could either wrap your head around that Spider-Man being the actual 616 from the comics, or the 616 movie.
Yeah,
with Spider-Man.
Slightly different.
And just know that the love of his life was Mary Jane.
Okay.
And not even be invested in the whole Gwen Stacy thing. Because quiet is kept until the Andrew Garfield things. If you've only grown up with Spider-Man over the last 20 years, that's the movies.
In the comic.
And in the comics, in the marriage of Mary Jane. Mary Jane is the love of his life.
It's
not really Gwen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, before you even brought that up, I thought like, it would have been slightly nifty to have him just react of like, oh, that's a mind fuck.
Something
to that regard.
Yeah. You're the 16-year-old version of the woman I was in love with.
And accidentally killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need it.
You don't need it, which is why I didn't even think of it while we were watching it.
Yeah.
It's not until that we're doing a look back at it that I went, oh, that would have been kind of cool. But I also think I'm aware it would have been a little bit too much.
It would have detracted from Miles'
story. They're doing too much stuff.
And it would have detracted from Miles' story and Miles' attraction to Gwen.
Yeah.
It would have detracted from that.
I agree, talking about what you were saying earlier about Miles, I was a little wary too, but I found like, I don't know if it was just well-timed or if they actually spent that much time, but I felt like we had a good beginning before Miles even had his powers, and then we had Miles figuring out his powers, and then moving forward and then finding the, you know, Peter Parker and then all the Spider-Verse stuff. And I thought they've really filled this movie up with a lot of stuff without it feeling too overpacked, but also feeling that everything had its own time.
Yeah.
Which is
well-paced.
So difficult, especially when you're dealing with all these characters. So
yeah, especially because there was a tick when I thought this movie was like, this is a little long, but something happened, and I was right back in it, and I was like...
See, was it Spider-Ham? When Spider-Ham showed up?
Well, first of all...
That was the tick?
No, that wasn't the tick, because Spider-Ham was such a win for me. I am a huge
No, I mean,
Peter
like,
Parker.
That's when he brought you back. Like, you were feeling
this movie's all right.
I don't know where it was that I felt that tick. Maybe it's just for one slight moment I noticed
I was like, oh, we're still
time.
Going.
And then I was like, but, you know, I'm here.
Yeah. I think it was when they leave Peter. I'm sorry, they leave Miles and say, you're not ready yet.
Yeah,
so then
maybe.
I'm like, oh, we still have to go through the redemption of him figuring everything out. And then,
right.
And he only really figures it out because his dad talks to him through the door, and then all of a sudden he's like, I've got my powers under control.
Can we talk about how when he shows up at Aunt May's and she says, "It's about time you showed up."
Oh,
you
know.
So
then that was cool.
Yeah, she was waiting for him to come to her.
Yeah.
You know, and then he embellished his suit, you know.
Yeah.
So
which is not how spray paint works on fabric, but we'll just leave it.
Yeah, you know, but it kind of goes in, coincides with him and his love for like
for graffiti.
Graffiti.
Yeah. For
Kirby Cockrell graffiti.
Yeah.
I gotta say I do love the they mimicked or kind of curbed one of my favorite scenes from Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Where the one time before a bunch of events that now it's one universe, the one time that Peter Parker and Miles Morales actually did meet.
Yeah.
Where he brings Peter to May's house, them waiting outside in front of the door, because to May, she just buried her nephew.
Yeah, 26-year-old nephew, and now there's a 40-year-old.
But in the comics, it was my 16-year-old nephew, and now there's like a mid-20s version of him that she recognizes immediately. And that whole, like, just that 2 minutes of, I don't know, tension was one of my favorite parts of that story. And then in this movie, they did it incredibly well.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing about that I am glad about is, because it always kind of bothered me a little bit, that Miles is not a genius who creates web shooters at 16. He's not a guy who can make that and figure out how to make a web fluid like Peter is. He's a different kind of smart. So the fact that the Peter in this reality was basically like a perfect Spider-Man who had all of the gadgets and everything, and now Aunt May has access to all that. She's able to supply all of this stuff.
Give him the web shooters.
Yeah. I don't know how long that's going to last until he runs out, I guess. Like, I don't think she knows how to make web fluid, but this is me.
I'm sure Peter wrote it down somewhere.
Yeah.
I think probably.
Okay. I think they got to fabricate a 3D printer.
Okay.
Down there in the spider cave.
So, I
feel like if you've got a buggy, you've got like a file somewhere with the chemical.
And you're missing out on his other capabilities, too, that the other Spider-Man doesn't have.
Oh, like turning invisible?
Yeah.
And using his venom bite, is that what it's called, where he shocks people?
Yeah. So those are definitely some backup mechanisms that he can use.
Yeah.
Okay, one thing, it just dawned on me. Where does the spider come from?
Well, they are underneath Alchemex.
No, I understand it comes from, but why is the spider? Why is it a spider?
Because Alchemex has been doing, in this reality, it's not Oscorp, it's Alchemex.
No, I understand. So why is it an Alchemex spider? Because the spider had Alchemex on it.
Yeah, what's your question?
I never saw the correlation between the spider and Alchemex, except that it came from Alchemex.
Yeah.
They're
doing genetic modifications on spiders a la Oscorp.
Oh, were they doing that?
No, it was Oscorp. Basically, no,
but were they doing that in the movie?
No, they didn't say it.
What I'm saying.
You're supposed to assume it.
Also, too, I remember in the story, they make the connection between Uncle Aaron, stealing the spider and or having stole things at Alchemex. And that's how it kind of...
I remember that in the origin, in the comic.
It was from Oscorp, yeah.
Yes. But in this movie, we would call this a plot hole.
Secondary spoiler. Something very similar happens in one of the brand new Doctor Who episodes with spiders and radioactive, things. And how they're testing on spiders and they end up doing some really wicked shit.
And they make a Spider-Man?
Yeah. No, they don't make a Spider-Man, but they make some huge man-eating spiders.
Nice. I think that is just shorthand. It's just people know that Peter was bitten by a radioactive spider or a genetically modified spider, so it's him making the noise.
This cookie that I picked
up has Sam's looking around because Len is humming at a high pitch that only dogs and Sam's can hear. I think it's just, you know, it's a fucked up spider.
It's a plot hole.
Also, I thought it was funny that he called it a normal spider when it's clearly like bright orange, like it's like glowing.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, you're definitely a normal spider. But anyway,
the reaction was perfect though. Like
all the dramatic build up, and then the bink. Yeah. Some people though, like Terry, if you remember Terry Leahy, he doesn't like
Noel's arch nemesis.
Yes, everyone's arch nemesis. He doesn't like that Marvel sort of all the dramatic tension being undercut by a joke.
You mean like real life?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And yet, what other spoilers do we got?
The uncle.
Aaron?
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, her Uncle Ben.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of saw it coming, and I've never read the comics. I kind of was like, that's going to be his uncle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah.
You can see that coming. That's like basic like storytelling, you know, that's going to happen. So I don't know if that's necessarily a spoiler. I mean, not to me, anyway. But, you know, there's not really a whole lot of spoilers. I mean, if you don't know the Spider-Man story, maybe it's, you know, we could spoil it. But like you said, he wins. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's just so much good, so much visual goodness. Also, and you talked about this, like, missing it a little bit.
Me, JD.
You, JD, as I pointed on this audio podcast visually. The I liked that a lot of the scenes from the trailer are not in the movie, or they are redone in the movie.
Yeah.
Case in point, the scene where in the trailer, Miles, you know, is running through the
traffic
and along the cab and everything like that. That actually is Spider-Man in the beginning of the movie that does that. And it just doesn't have the same freeze frame. And the whole thing in like the subway, them talking to each other, that's not in the movie at all.
Yeah, there's a whole conversation in the trailers that's fantastic that's not in the movie at all. The don't do it like me, do it like you.
Oh, yeah.
Not at all, yeah.
But you don't miss it.
No, it's all there. It's just not there. Trailers are incredibly deceiving these days anyway.
Which I like.
Yeah. I like that.
I like a deceived, dishonest trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a good trailer that lies.
Yeah.
No, you know, it didn't lie.
Did you guys have favorite parts?
I gotta say that as somebody who did enjoy the show New Girl and loves it extremely, that Jake Johnson's character as Nick Miller totally shines through as Peter Parker on this.
Oh yeah, similar.
Oh yeah, his same you know, I don't care attitude. I do things the way I want to do them. Yeah, I have a healthy weight problem. Blah blah blah. Like the way he chews that burger, that's totally a Nick Miller move.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a fan of New Girl.
I've watched a couple episodes and I didn't care.
I did think that he captured Parker well. Yeah. You know, how did you feel about
it? Well, I see, when you said that he was the 616 Peter, I was a little surprised because he is the Peter that we have in the 616 isn't as slovenly as this Peter.
Yeah, but he's okay.
This guy's real fly by the seat of his pants.
Jogging pants.
It's fly by the seat of his jogging pants.
But I think he grew into that.
Yeah.
You gotta remember, this is our 616 Peter, if he was allowed to actually grow 10 years.
That's true.
He says he's been doing it for 22 years.
Yeah, I can see that.
And he lost Mary Jane.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
You have a favorite part, Noel?
It's hard. I just really, really enjoyed the shit out of it. I always keep thinking back on the more emotional aspects of the story, like those as like the peaks. Mm-hmm. So the confrontation between him and his uncle on the rooftop and how that transpired was rough for me. Also,
it was rough. I liked the voice acting in that.
It was
scene.
Wonderful. Well, Mahershala Ali doesn't do anything wrong.
That's true.
Period.
You know, he's got an Oscar.
His Oscars have Oscars. I really, really liked the Stanley cameo, and I almost got choked up.
I got choked up.
The quote at the end.
That got me too.
Yeah.
No, when Stanley showed up, I didn't know he was going to show up.
Neither did I.
And then when he did, first of all, I went, well, of course. But then throughout his, like, first, well, it was immediate. When I thought, when he showed up and I went, oh, of course, I also immediately had a guttural, like, oh, kind of thing. And then throughout his conversation with Miles, I just I got choked up.
It was one of the more emotionally meaty cameos he's ever done, and he wasn't even in person.
Yeah.
It was perfect. And then they pop a quote up at the end of Stan Lee's, and it was just... there was a lot of really, really great peaks in this emotionally that I really, really enjoyed. The father and son relationships, the mentor and mentee relationships. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man Noir was fantastic.
Yeah.
Just Nick Cage was fan-fucking-tastic.
I also got choked up when Uncle Aaron died.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. The confrontation on the roof, and then that led to his death, and that whole thing of events, and then even the father finding, that whole sequence of events was just like the emotional crux of the movie.
Yeah,
yeah. I liked a lot of this freaking movie. Mm-hmm. The scene with his uncle when they actually go underground to do the graffiti, I thought it was really cool because it was a nice little bonding situation between them. Yeah. The whole spraying of the graffiti and the Kirby crackle coming. I just loved all the Kirby crackle in this movie.
Yeah,
it was like a Kirby film coming to life. You know, I almost wish there was so much Kirby in there. Like hindsightly, I wish there was maybe a little bit more Ditko in there,
just
as a nod to him, you know. And some of the comic book drawing, they did some comic book pages. They look like they tried to mimic Ditko's style a little bit. I don't know if they really landed on it, but and they certainly had some of his imagery in there. But I mean, visually, it's stunning. Mm-hmm. It is. But on top of the visuals, the soundtrack to this movie is banging.
Yeah.
It is non-stop banging. There is not a false note throughout.
Was that the first thing I said when the credits were rolling?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Like, I don't even buy movie soundtracks. I don't. I really don't even care. This has been a long time since I've cared. I mean, I've known some good ones, but I just didn't really care. I am buying this soundtrack.
Yeah, it's
no
real
joke.
Good. Yeah. I am a guy who does buy soundtracks. No.
I'm also going to buy this one.
Yeah, and also this one. All right. Did anybody have anything they didn't like?
What's your favorite part? You haven't said anything.
Oh, man, I was hoping no one would ask me because I liked so much of it. I can't really think of what I did or what was my favorite.
How'd you guys feel about the post-credit stinger?
Oh, I thought it was great. We laughed so hard.
Oh, that was...
The 1960s Spider-Man cartoon with meets 2099 Miguel.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I thought that was dope. But okay, so that was the Spider-Man from 2099.
Yeah,
that he met, right?
Miguel O'Hara.
Right. But, and maybe it's just me, because I don't know. But I thought that was the Spider-Man from the Spider-Verse storyline that went in. Okay,
no.
He's not.
No. Spider-Man 2099 from the mid-90s was a comic book series where Marvel went into the year 2099 and they created all these futuristic versions mm-hmm. of their mm-hmm. characters. Doctor Doom, Fantastic Four, Ghost Rider, I think, was one of them. And Miguel O'Hara he worked at Alchemex in the future. And he became the Spider-Man of that time.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. And he does do some time traveling.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, slots run where Spider-Verse was introduced. He's a major character in a couple of, like, he travels back and forward and then mm-hmm. gets his own series. And I think as much as it was a joke, so they're already developing a sequel for this, and they were before the movie came out.
Yeah.
As much as that stinger is a joke, I think that they're setting up Miguel's character to be a linchpin of whatever's going to follow next, because they immediately establish that he can jump dimensions.
Yeah.
Right.
Very cool. I think that would be really, really cool.
I just hope whatever comes in. First of all, they won. I think I think box office will truly tell the story. But I think that they have won in that they have created excellent movie from which to build their Sony's
franchise.
Own Spider-Man universe. Right. Mm-hmm. I just hope that they keep it Miles Morales centric.
I do love Miles.
And there is, you know, I could see them being tempted to, you know, head first into just a whole Spider-Verse of movies as opposed to Miles-centric movies. And I hope they keep it Miles-centric.
I think they will for the animated movies, at the very least. Like, I loved, did you guys miss Genki?
Oh, Genk? Yeah, Genk. Yeah, there's like, best friends, Pat. Yeah,
I saw that. That
he lost weight, but it's funny because he looks different visually because they used what he looks like as a character for Homecoming, the live-action movie, and it's Ned Leeds. So now the Genk from, or Genki, whatever it is, from this has to look different. Pretty funny. But yeah, no, I caught him. Yeah, he's cool.
They like it.
Yeah.
I want and I hope that they continue with this. It's Miles-centric, and... Oh, the other thing that I wanted to mention, you caught Donald Glover on TV, right?
No.
No.
Where was he on TV?
When he's at Aaron's apartment the first time, when Miles is at Aaron's apartment the first time, they flash on the TV, and it's part of a video of Donald Glover in a Spider-Man shirt.
What? No. I didn't even see that. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's cool.
Very cool. I think there's a lot in this movie that will...
reward on repeat
reviewings. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to say. Thank
yeah,
you.
Especially like a lot of... When they keep dropping off into New York of the mm-hmm. time and you see all the... Faux billboards, mm-hmm. you know, Seth, what was this? Seth Rogen. Hold your horses.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Every time they came to Miles Universe, it was that stupid billboard of Seth Rogen movie that doesn't exist.
I didn't even see it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, he's dressed up like a jockey and he's on a horse and it right. just says like Netflix presents Jesus. Hold your horses.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think if I had to nitpick something, I was surprised when at the culmination of the film, all of these characters are fighting each other, and then Miles has to confront Kingpin. Kingpin is a regular guy
mm-hmm.
who, and you know, if it was happening not during some giant cataclysmic event where things were swirling all over the place and zipping in and out of reality,
mm-hmm.
It would be fine. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's just a big guy who can't jump very high or anything is like fighting on the top of this. What was it, on the top of a train?
Train.
In the middle of nothing, just like swirling around this cyclone. He didn't feel like someone who would be a good fit for that sequence. Do you know what I mean? Am I crazy?
Are you talking about like the strength level being off the chart?
No, he's
agility?
Very strong. But the fact that he's just...
When he's picking up cars and stuff, I took it as like if you're like on the surface of the moon, gravity's
yeah,
a little wonky
lighter.
Right there. So car flies by you, you can redirect it and chuck it at someone.
I guess I was thinking of someone who had more flying ability or...
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least it wasn't another spider person. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like, usually the problem with these superhero movies is they're just fighting another version of themselves.
A bad spider from the multiverse comes in. And
yeah.
But I liked it that it wasn't some, superior. Like, big cosmic menace or anything like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And to a degree, it still played on the whole personal level because, you know, Kingpin was doing this not because he wanted to take over the Earth. He wanted his wife and his son
back. I did
back.
Like that.
So I actually kind of dug it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and it's weird because all the other characters in the film were like normal portion-sized humans
yeah.
and
yeah,
other things,
true.
And Fisk was huge
yeah.
in this. And the only reason I know Fisk as a non-comic book reader is through the Daredevil series
yeah,
on Netflix. I put two and two together, it must have sounded so dumb to
Three-fourths through the movie, they only refer to him as Kingpin the whole time. And
until they show him.
Three-fourths through the movie, someone says Wilson or it says Fisk on the news, and you turn to me and you're like, Wilson Fisk? I was like, yeah, that's the Kingpin.
I mean, yeah. I mean this sounds really lame,
different.
But...
He's not lame at all.
He's got a different accent. He's doing a whole thing. This is a very different version of that character.
Yeah, and this one, I mean, the way they made him like an unusually large person,
mm-hmm.
You know, made him that much more scary as a villain. Because mm-hmm. if he was just a fat dude who liked art, you know, like in Daredevil, I mean, it might be a little different.
So I remember one sequence in particular where it's literally, you're looking at the entirety of the screen. And I believe he's talking to... what was her name? Octavia?
Olive.
Olive Octavius. And the whole left side of the screen is black. And then there's a little head poking out of it because he's so big, he's taking up more than half of the screen. And then there's like tiny little woman next to him. It was obviously an artistic choice to be made. He's
right.
not actually that big, but yeah, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I like I told you, JD, I like the reminder for people who only know Kingpin from Daredevil that he started originally as a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true.
That's where he started. Daredevil co-opted.
Was there anything you guys didn't like? Like, I had my one nitpick about the Kingpin being the final baddie. Was there anything you were like, that felt silly or a little overdone or a bad decision?
I'm having trouble mining my brain for anything that was truly a negative or something that I didn't like. Nothing really... Attracted from the movie. The humor was on point. The emotional effect was on point.
Yeah, it's a very funny movie.
Narratively, it made sense. They gave equal weight in the right measure for all of the different characters that they were juggling. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I like, speaking of the comedy, I like that it's not one singular type of comedy throughout the film. You've mm-hmm. got emotional comedy, you've got slapstick, they're mining a bunch of different areas mm-hmm. for their
it's
comedy.
It's well written, but that's Lord and Miller. They do good stuff.
Oh, now who's Lord and Miller? I know that.
Is 21 Jump Street.
Never saw it.
The Lego movie.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yep.
That was pretty funny. Sense. Yeah, that does make sense.
You never saw 21 Jump Street?
No. The movie? No.
Yeah, the first one was really quite wonderful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say before we...
I really liked... You mentioned one of your favorite scenes when they go
Len?
In and... yes, I'm pointing at Len in this audio.
Medium.
Which was it?
The scene where him and his uncle go and tag...
Oh, good. Tag the subway. Yeah, the subway.
The art that... The art that Miles produces is the entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
He has to do the Great Expectations
book report.
And
well, it's not even a book report because it's on him, that's right.
And depicts this great shadow of himself on a wall. And that's actually the entire movie.
Yeah.
Simple, small things like that make you indicate to you that everyone that's making this movie understands everything about it, and you could just sit back and relax.
Yeah. And they know, and they're smart storytellers.
Yeah.
You hear that, Tyler Perry?
How do you guys feel about
release the Snyder Cut?
His, you know, we've got the negative, the apex of the film where Miles gets left behind, and then he has to come to terms with how does he control his powers, and he literally learns how to control his powers by hearing his dad talk to him through a door. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, he's able to control his
abilities. All of a sudden, he's like Superman. Well, I mean, look, that's how it goes. That's how it goes in all these movies, man.
But that doesn't mean it should.
It's slightly reductive to just be like, oh, he heard a conversation, so that makes it work better. It's more about something clicking inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his agility shouldn't be that great. Maybe, mm-hmm. but the ability to tap into these things that you can just it's just like emotional maturity.
Yeah.
The difference between you and me when we were 15 versus now is applied emotional maturity that makes us not act in
ridiculous ways
or X, Y, and Z. I think that's mainly what it was.
Okay.
Now, him being able to backflip through buildings that are flying at him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's where we did comic book logic.
He had an afternoon.
Yeah.
but it just being one conversation. I think it's a little bit more than that, personally. Okay.
That being said, I did like his training montage when he goes up the building.
Yeah.
And then he's like...
Oh, well, there's a whole sequence of him running up the stairs to go to the roof.
Right.
And then he stands up there and he's getting the magic swells and all of that. And all of a sudden it just cuts to him going downstairs.
And he's looking for
looking up and he finds the smaller building.
Yeah.
And then goes back up. Yeah.
Yeah. That was really,
really
cool.
I really
loved the scene in the woods where he was swinging with the one Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm. And they start to find their rhythm.
Yeah. But just that whole scene was just beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
It just reminded me of a watercolor painting. It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
It does. Which I think was really good. It played off their color palette very well, especially when Gwen comes in there. I mean, there's just so much smart stuff going on visually in this movie. Yeah.
There were so many wild visuals. It almost shouldn't work all together as one piece.
Really?
Because we, in this conversation, we've name checked maybe about 3 or 4 different art styles.
Yeah.
That all cohesively work in this movie as one
almost
piece.
Simultaneously.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when all the main characters are on the screen, each one of them is rendered in a different way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, one is 2D animated, one is in black and white with dot pitch, one is, like, it's ridiculous.
Well, I like that they even mentioned that when they meet Spider-Man Noir, they're just like, is he in black and white? Like, they mention that he's in a different style.
And they keep quizzing him, he's like... Can he see colors?
Yeah, his whole gag is revolving around a Rubik's Cube.
Right.
Yes, which is funny. That was a great touch.
And I liked it. I didn't realize, because everything is a cartoon, I didn't realize that Spider-Ham was actually a cartoon within that cartoon.
Right.
And so he would bring out giant mallets and stuff that,
And it fits in your pocket.
It fits in your pocket, yeah.
And that was John Mulaney?
John Mulaney.
I love him.
Perfect.
And it was the perfect role for him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can have this mallet. It fits in your pocket.
Yeah.
The
thing that I liked was, okay, so the mask of this of Spider-Ham is he's got the two spider eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then on his snout, his nose, he's got two little spider eyes. And when his eyes blinked, his nostrils blinked.
Yes.
It was a nice little touch. It was a nice little touch.
Nice little touch. So much. So, I mean, like I said, man, it's...
When are we going to go again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to see it again.
There's like, it's so fucking smart.
Yeah.
And wasn't it just on the most recent Gutter Talk that we said that Warner Brothers should just nix everything with DCEU
and just start over
with all of them being animated.
Yep.
Maybe you keep Wonder Woman because they're period pieces,
yep.
But everything else, just animated. Can you imagine the team that did this movie? This is how spot on this movie is, especially some of the imagery of the Prowler. If that was Batman, oh my God.
You know,
God, I'm coming.
Oh my God.
Why, why haven't they?
Ben likes Batman. Like a lot.
Sam is blushing. And it's adorable. Anyway, how come they haven't thrown $100 million into a full-fledged animated
Batman
movie?
I've been asking this.
Superman movie.
A Superman for years. I would do that for Superman.
Can you imagine a stylistic Superman movie like this?
Yes.
Because Superman... unlike many people now who think that it only should be dark and brooding, Superman actually is a bright, shining beacon. Mm-hmm. And having some sort of style like this where it curbs all kinds of other... God, that would be so
good.
I would love it.
I want this version of all of the things, man. All of the comics and shit.
Take it back to the old Batman animated series. Mm-hmm. Loved that.
I love that series.
I love that series. But this would be better.
This would be better, yeah. I would like this sort of budget... for just animate all the comics, man. I'll watch them. I'll come see them in the theaters. But that being said, let's not overdo it. I was talking to Tyler, who is a friend of mine, and she went to this screening as well. And so I was catching her viewpoint after the show, and she had said something similar about the malaise of overdoing all these comics. She's like, there's so many comic book movies, and I do feel a little bit of a malaise of like all these comic book movies that are coming out. And this... feels fresh and exciting and new, and I'm just as excited about this as I was as some of the early comic book movies that have come out, despite my being tired of these things.
Mm-hmm. But that's because this has its own, like I said, it has its own visual language. Yeah.
Well, it takes even all of those Pixar movies and all the Disney movies, they follow the same visual formula.
They do.
And this is the first one in a long time that takes risks.
And that's what makes it wins, because all the other films that have followed in their wake, you know, the DreamWorks and Illumination and Blue Sky, all of them, they're all still trying to be Pixar.
Yeah.
So they're trying to out Pixar. Yeah. Pixar's got their own thing and they're doing it. And there's nothing wrong with them. They're great. Incredibles 2 was fantastic.
Love it.
But like you said, this one just... It leaned into the source material. It's a comic book superhero. And this is a true comic book superhero movie.
Representation.
You know, this conversation almost makes me feel... this conversation almost reminds me of is the movie Scream.
Yeah.
Mm. So that was wildly successful narratively as well as financially because it took these tropes, genres, ideas, formulas that you knew, it didn't talk down to you, understood that you knew them, and then used them against you or with you, like brought you in on the joke while also telling you an amazing story.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie does.
Yeah.
It doesn't talk down to you. It knows that you understand all the things that are going to happen, mm-hmm. but then uses that against you as an audience member in an incredibly fun way.
Another one that reminded me of that, just as a quick side note, was Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, that's another good example.
Yeah, it's a good one, too.
That's a great one.
Yeah, that was a great one.
So the horror movie genre has done this over and over again. Maybe it's time that the superhero genre starts playing coy as well.
I agree. I think we all love this movie. I think you guys should definitely go see this movie. You should email us at cultpopgo@gmail.com.
Or blacktribbles@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for joining us, Noel.
Hi.
And Sam.
Hello.
And Len.
And Jadles. that's it. Thanks so much, and we will talk at you later.
Bye.
Da-da-da. Peace. She was a bad
I'm walking out. I can hear you telling me to turn around. Sunflower, I think your love would be too much, or you'll be left.